The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
All right, let's have some fun to start the week off. It's time for a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin, live from our beautiful VSiN studios, downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Casino and Resort. I'm Joe Serrallo, live from Los Angeles. Kelly, stop me if you've heard this one before, but I am currently in Los Angeles right now because, yes, I had more car problems trying to come back to Vegas yesterday.
Yeah, you really run on a hot streak with those things, man. That is, it was brutal. That's a brutal beat, though, when you were trying to drive back here yesterday, the old nail in the tire. Yep, that happens.
Yeah, you know, I was looking around my parking spot at the apartment. I'm starting to wonder if it was a coincidence or if it was the X, but, you know, a nail on the side of the tire. It's always a fun way. It's a Sunday fun day when that happens. You know, my man?
Oh, yeah.
It was a fun Sunday for you. I mean, we were talking all week, Kelly, about, you know, it being kind of a dead weekend in sports and not much going on. Obviously, you had the Daytona 500. You and I, not big NASCAR guys. But you were able to hit a couple long shots this weekend. It was a pretty profitable one for you, huh?
Yeah, good golf betting week, finally. Hit the first outright of the season, Ludvig Åberg. So that was nice. Not all of us can be Wes Reynolds. Wes coming on in about an hour here. We'll talk to him about that. I know he had a top 10 on Ludvig. But not all of us can be Wes. We can't hit three in a row, but hopefully I'm starting it now, Joe. That's what I'm trying. That's what I'm going to keep saying is I'm going to be like Wes Reynolds now. Well, you got to get the first one if you're going to get three in a row. So started with the first one. Ludvig looking great yesterday. Maverick McNealy really went low, put the pressure on that everybody in that leaderboard yesterday, going really low to start the day. And Ludvig having to battle back, did a great job shooting 66, goes out there, wins it by one stroke over Maverick McNealy. Good win, and good win for the long shots crew. Matt Brown on him as well.
Yeah, awesome weekend for you, and we'll get back to your profitable weekend. We've got a busy hour ahead. The Four Nations face-off got a little steamy on Saturday, so we'll dive into that later on, bottom of the hour, with our friend Johnny Lazarus, host of the Daily Face-Off. He's going to break down both games tonight. The USA has clinched a spot in the finals later this week. I believe that's February 20th, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll break it all down. A potential USA-Canada rematch, I know, would be fun. Kelly, were you able to catch what happened when the U.S. and Canada squared off earlier in the weekend?
Oh, it was great. It was great. I can't wait to talk to Johnny, too, because I'm getting a little bit more excited every day this tournament goes by. I'm really wondering about betting against the United States tonight. Like, if this is I got too many questions for Johnny. It's a plus price on Sweden. USA has already locked up a spot in that championship game. Isn't this still like all-star festivity replacement stuff? I mean, it's hockey, so the guys are way tougher, but like, isn't this the time the stars should be demanding a break? Like, this is like, if we're clinched, why am I playing?
Well, what I will say to that, and I don't know, maybe we could pull up the odds. That'd be great. Or I could see if I could get them in front of me. So I could be mistaken. From what I've gathered, if Canada or Finland wins the game in regulation, the winner is going to the championship against the U.S. So then it wouldn't matter for the U.S. or Sweden. But from what I gather, if they win in overtime, there is a chance that Sweden, with a regulation win against the U.S., could make the championship. Yeah. So essentially, if that Canada-Finland game is done in regulation, Sweden-U.S. is an exhibition.
Yeah, so you're saying there's a chance. That's what you're saying, though.
They got a shot. You might want to wait for Canada and Finland to wrap. That game, of course, is an early start. It's going to be 10 a.m. Pacific time. So shortly after we wrap here at a numbers game, Canada -$4.50 on the money line, Finland +340, Sweden +160. Now that game, I'd imagine that game would not be so as evenly priced as it is if the United States had not already clinched a spot in the championship. Puck line intrigues me there. I mean, you're laying a little juice, -155 for Sweden, plus a goal and a half. But it does intrigue me as a bit of a safer play, +160 on the money line if you're feeling frisky. Yeah, I don't hate either. I mean, I can't imagine, like, right now, obviously, USA-Canada, there's a lot behind that with what happened Saturday and the booing and everything. And by the way, you can call it a hot take. I don't blame them for booing. I mean, Kelly, I don't know what you think about this. I know that if, I don't know, Germany was out there talking about making the United States one of its territories, and Angela Merkel was running her mouth in that fashion, I have a feeling, call me crazy, I have a feeling the U.S. crowd would probably boo Germany.
Yeah.
So I don't hate the booing, I it's pretty understandable given the, you know, the climate and the times that we're in. I actually love what it's doing for the rivalry because it gave us a hell of a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, from a sports standpoint, stuff like that makes sports better, right? Like you saw I mean, it's hockey, so it's great, but we get all these guys what was it, three fights in the first like 30 seconds or whatever? It was crazy. But yeah, I mean, it makes this stuff more entertaining. Obviously, hockey is going to be different from basketball, but NBA maybe take notes on what you can do with these different sorts of setups around All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, look, I can proudly say I watched none of the NBA festivities this weekend. I saw some McClung highlights on Twitter, and they were great. But I don't know, Kelly, what's your take on this? I think that while Mac McClung is a sick dunker, I think him being in the dunk contest, having played, 12 total minutes of NBA action this season, going back to October, and then last season, I don't think he appeared in the NBA at all. He was, I believe, G League all year. You know, it's the NBA All-Star Weekend, right? If you're going to have McClung in it, now he's phenomenal at what he does. He's fantastic at dunking. But if you're going to have him in it, why not just have guys off the street who are making YouTube videos dunking in it? You know, it's not the G League All-Star Weekend. It's the NBA All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
And I do think it loses a little something, even though he's a three-time champ. You know, only three-peat we've seen this month. Sorry, Kansas City. Even though he's a three-time champ now, I really do feel like it loses something because he's not, in reality, an NBA player.
Yeah, I agree. That was kind of my takeaway after it, too. It's just become the Mac McClung show. And it's awesome. It's amazing. But if you're going to put up that level of dunking talent, you're right. And no other NBA star, no NBA stars are going to participate in it. Then, yeah, grab some of the YouTubers, grab some of the guys we see making these awesome dunks all the time all over the internet. There are other guys out there that can do this stuff. Yeah, I agree with you. I guess the only part I'm getting tired of it being just the Mac McClung exhibition, even though it is still fun to watch. He puts on a show every year. But, you know, every year you get these NBA guys on Twitter afterward being like, oh, like, I'm going to do it. Like, well, get out there. Stop running your mouths and just get out there and play. Actually enter the dunk contest. Everybody, this is one of the things that LeBron I don't want to blame him for a lot of the All-Star game failures and weekend failures, but like we've seen all the legends of old participated in the dunk contest. Don't make it a thing. LeBron never did. He said he was going to, never did. And just, it's become a thing now that these stars don't participate in it. And you'd love to see a couple big names in there.
You know, look, I'm a LeBron defender. I love LeBron. To me, he's the GOAT. And I know that's a conversation for another day. It's, you know, probably a great segment filler in July when things get really slow around here. But as much as I love LeBron, you're spot on there. And that's, I think, one of the biggest ways he's dropped the ball in his career was we always heard, oh, I'm going to do the dunk contest. Jordan did it. I mean, Dominique Wilkins did it. You know, Vince Carter did it. Not that Carter is on the level of those guys, but there were stars in the dunk contest back in the day.
Yep.
And LeBron always talked about it, but he never ultimately did it. And I don't want to hear like, oh, injury risk, injury liability. Kelly, can you think of anyone who's ever gotten hurt doing the dunk contest?
No, I'm not to say it's impossible, but you know, for as many games that you play in, right? I mean, as many All-Star games, it's got to be just as big of a concern, if not more. Now, having said that, LeBron also chose not to play in the All-Star game this weekend, which was
I have no issue with at this point. I mean, the All-Star game's a joke.
I mean, the timing I have an issue with, though, Joe. I think him and Anthony Edwards both deciding not to play with what you know. Their injuries that they're dealing with, they take a couple spots away from other guys that could have been there. I think I heard a couple people bring this up, but Norman Powell, a couple guys that participated in the 3-point contest easily could have filled in for either one of them. Timing was just a little weird. If you're hurt, and LeBron's, I think, is probably a little bit more of a thing. Like if you were hurt on Friday, you know, alert someone. That's fine. You can still be named to the team and someone fill in for you. It's just that stuff was a little rough. I kind of liked the new format, but I understand some of the NBA stars not liking it with the giving the shot to the younger guys, the rising stars to knock them off in an All-Star game. I do think that's probably a betting angle for going forward of whatever the money line is against the Rising Stars team to play, just lay the big money line because I think these NBA vets are not taking it very well that these young guys are getting a shot in the All-Star game.
Yeah, well, Draymond Green said it. His quote was, "We get the treat of watching the Olympic team take on the under-19 team. Yeah. What are we doing here?" And, you know, I don't agree with him often. I think he's spot on. in this case. So, Kelly, what do you think? I know Giannis has tossed around the old go back to the U.S. versus the world idea. I know Dave and Jensen were talking about it on VSiN by the Books before we came on. I think that would be way more entertaining than what we saw yesterday.
100%. The problem is we keep this has now been brought up a few years ago. They keep changing around the format. I don't know if we're ever going to see that, but of course I agree. That would be the best thing you could run out there right now, where at least there would be a little bit of care, you would think, on either side. I mean, we see that in the Ryder Cup and golf. We're seeing the Four Nations face off. It just becomes a little bit more when you put the flag on your jersey. And right. I mean, that's about the only way that you're going to get some of these guys into this stuff. I don't know, though. I mean, we've seen the in-season tournament. In my opinion, the NBA Cups worked pretty well these first 2 years, and it's just a cash bonus on it. Now, these guys get a cash bonus already for winning the All-Star game. Do we need to increase that? Does that not matter at all? It seems not to matter at all. So I do think that would be the only form. Let's put it this way, Joe. I'm a huge NBA fan. It's the sport I bet the most.
Right.
This is a very skippable event for me every Sunday. I watched more of Daytona 500 yesterday than I did of any of the All-Star game. And you got to do something if you're going to get the people that actually care about basketball to watch this again.
Is that the Florida man in you taking over, watching the Daytona 500?
No, that's the degenerate better in me, Joe. Like, that is, like, live betting Daytona.
Did you tail our guy?
No, I didn't, because Phil Bobbitt hit again. He hit again. William Byron gets home.
20-1 on the winner, right?
That's right.
20-23?
20-1, and he hit on one of the duels. What was that, Wednesday night? Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah, whenever he came on, I believe it was Thursday night, he hit on the second duel race, which I don't even know what a duel race is, but he hit on it, 10-1. More Numbers Game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo. Up next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Folks, sports betting never slows down, and neither should you. The NBA and NHL are going to be back from their respective All-Star breaks in a minute. The PGA Tour is underway, March Madness is right around the corner, and so is MLB opening day. That means the action never stops. So start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. For as little as $9.99, you'll get a daily email with all the plays from hosts and their guests, expert analysis, deep dive stats, and exclusive insights to help you make the smartest pick. Don't place your bets unprepared. Get full access today for just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. As a Numbers Game continues with myself, Joe Cirillo, stepping in for Gil Alexander, who's on a well-deserved vacation, Kelly Bidlin back at our VSiN studios inside the beautiful Circa Resort and Casino. Kelly, I know we kind of got to it late in the opening segment there. You wanted to circle back to the Daytona 500 as Byron repeats as champ briefly?
Yeah, just quickly. I mean, some of the super speedway races are just great live betting opportunities. Now, there's so many crashes that always occur at the end of these spots. I'll usually jump in with about 50 to 70 laps left, something like that, Joe. Grab a couple longer outrights down the board. Because then you're at Daytona, you know you're going to get these crashes in the final 20 laps. And there was two of them yesterday. You know they're coming at some point it just blows up half the field, and yes, your guy might get caught up in that too. That's why I'm saying this might not be the soundest betting strategy, but man, you can emerge with a nice long outright ticket on a guy that's all of a sudden just randomly in third place. I mean, Byron's odds would have been great live at some point there in the middle of all that. I didn't hop in on him, of course, should have. Phil give us the winner on Thursday, so it's just food for thought. It's something I've started doing the past few years. I really enjoy getting involved in it, and especially since I think the NASCAR bettors we talk to and that we have on VSiN.com and everything, I trust they make money over the course of a season, and it just, you can't judge one event, you got to judge the entire season when you're talking about handicapping performances. But there's the crashes are so silly. I can't imagine some of the pre-race stuff. I don't have as much of a desire to get involved with, because your guys can get eliminated, which is, there's a lot of comps between betting golf and betting NASCAR and betting individual sports, but nobody's running out on the course and tackling Ludwig Oberg. I don't have to worry about that, a Happy Gilmore style or something like that. I don't have to worry about that when I'm betting golf. You can bet a NASCAR race and your guy's out of it with 20 minutes into the race.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not for me. Obviously, if I tailed Phil, it would have been a pretty profitable weekend. If I tailed you, though, it would have been a profitable weekend, because You know, Phil's got the long shots in NASCAR. You've got him in golf. And, you know, we're talking NBA All-Star Weekend, obviously, to start the show here. We didn't even get to your big win of the weekend. We've been talking about the game and ways to tweak it and ways to fix it and the dunk contest, which, Kelly, I don't know. Correct me if I'm mistaken. I didn't see that there was any action available on the dunk contest. Was there at certain shops?
Certain shops will post it. That's what it's become now. Basically, certain shops, if they want to post it, will, and others won't.
Because Friday morning we were in studio, and I was only looking, admittedly, at DraftKings. I wasn't actively shopping for dunk contest odds, and DraftKings had nothing posted there. But what they did have was the 3-point contest.
Yep.
And what you did have was the 3-point contest winner in pocket. What was it? 7-1 on Tyler Hero.
Yeah, 7-1 on Hero. Yeah, nice little weekend getting Hero and then Ludwig back back to back days. It was a good Saturday night and into Sunday. It's the other part with that, Joe, with the dunk contest. Certain states, you need a result based and not a judging performance for them to post the market. So that could also be the case state to state. But I believe there are some books there's a bunch of books that are posting it regardless. But man, that's become the Mac McClung show. I don't know. We got to see what this dunk contest field looks like next year. I'm assuming he's going to be back. Really hope one of these NBA stars step up. But yeah, 3-point contest. Look, man, we broke it down on Friday. You're throwing darts a little bit. Yes, there is some data you could use to at least for me to figure out if I think the odds are a little off or not. But you still need those guys to go out there, perform, and get lucky and hit a bunch of threes in a couple different rounds to get there. And it was Tyler Hero. Good job, man. You got it home for us.
You know, look, I really liked the pick. I was also intrigued by Buddy Hield, although I didn't think there was enough value attached to his name. And I wasn't sure if you were paying somewhat of a hometown discount because of the sight lines and the stuff that we had talked about earlier in the week. But Hero was a hell of a call. Dame was going for the three-peat in that contest too, right? Lillard?
You're right. Yep.
So he was going for three in a row. McClung got three in a row. And it's a great point, by the way, based on, contests that have judges involved, because obviously McClung, or, you know, maybe say we'll go to a past winner, a guy who people this weekend were saying they'd love to see back in the contest, Zach LaVine. Right. You've got LaVine, who's a superstar, who, what is he, about 6'6", 6'7", guy can jump, right? He could do the same dunk, and then McClung goes out there and does it, and the judges are like, whoa, 6'1", white guy? We got to give it to him on that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely see your point as to if judges are involved. You know, maybe there's a little bit of emotion, maybe there's a little bit of bias, and we shouldn't be posting odds on that. Last comment I'll make on the NBA All-Star festivities. We talked about the USA versus world possibility. Because, I don't know, you said you kind of liked this format. I thought it stunk. What did you like about it?
I think there was especially with the rising stars and the younger players being involved, I just think there was a little bit more something on the line for the veteran players. And if you just liked if you hated the old format that was so a full game of just up and down, no defense being played at all, I think just asking these guys to play a bit of a shorter game helped a bit too. So I'm just saying, just the basketball, I understand why some of the vets were upset with the younger guys, but just from the basketball format, I do think it actually was better than what we've seen the past few years.
Okay, that's fair. Look, I think, you know, not to just jump on the bandwagon, but I think what Giannis said, I think what a lot of these guys are starting to get behind, U.S. versus world, the four nations face off the past week, week and a half or so, I think is proving that's the way to go. Because even if it's an exhibition, even if, you know, maybe there's a little purse involved, but nothing all that substantial, I think that just having your flag or having, I mean, in this case, it's U.S. versus world. Yeah. So it's not exactly, you know, like the Olympics or like the four nations where you're representing your specific country. But I think there's a lot of pride involved whenever you do anything that encompasses nationality or, you know, U.S. versus world. I really think if you want max effort, that's the route to go.
Yep.
Because I don't know, Kelly, you're the NBA guy. I feel like the league is getting a little too gimmicky. You seem to like the NBA Cup. I'm not really a fan of the NBA Cup. I think that it's the NBA is just getting a little too gimmicky as a whole. And I want to see something that leads to more meaningful basketball, whether it's in the regular season, whether it's All-Star weekend. I just want more meaningful hoop.
Yeah, I think there's also, we also hit this point of, like again, I watched more Daytona than I did of the All-Star game last night, just because I do agree with one of those, like, I'm one of those people, if you're going to complain about it, like, you don't have to watch it. Like, it's out, you know, there are other options.
Right.
You don't have to watch it. I think the NBA times this terribly. Like, that's, I don't even think there's an argument about that. As soon as football ends, NBA and the NHL go on break. What are we doing? Like, play these games a little earlier during the NFL playoffs.
they should have had the schedule make it so that they had the best, most marquee matchups on this weekend with no football finally.
Yeah, and then I mean, look, I don't think the broadcast was all that great either. TNT decided to go with a little bit more of a loose open format. Kevin Hart a part of it. Just I think it's tougher when you're rolling out a new format to not have a true broadcasting team kind of talking about it and talking through the rules and everything, constantly reminding you. It's just, hey, there's Kevin Hart over there talking crap to Chuck about something. You're like, I need to understand what's going on, because a lot of people don't understand when this is the first year that you bring it out.
I will say my biggest takeaway from the broadcast, because I didn't actively watch much of the All-Star game. I did grab dinner at a local Chili's and it was on in the background, and I saw Kevin Hart in between one of the games. I saw him on screen. Look, we all know Kevin Hart's laughably short, right? What's the guy? 5'4", 5'5"?
Yeah, something like that.
My biggest takeaway was, holy crap, he makes Steph Curry look like he's about 6'8". Steph looks like a midget on the NBA court, right? Out there with his teammates and everything. Steph's what, 6'1"? I mean, he's taller than your average guy, but he looks tiny on the court. And Steph next to Kevin Hart, I mean, he might as well have been like Yao Ming over there next to Kevin Hart. It was hilarious. Ernie looked like Dirk next to Kevin Hart.
It's always great when they line him up next to Shaq, though. It was always good television when that happens. Where you're like, oh my god, The difference in these human beings. Like, this is, they are both human beings, and the size difference is huge.
Yeah, it was definitely comical. Folks, got a lot of college hoops coming up tonight. Not the biggest slate in terms of ranked teams. We've got some good mid-major action. We're going to dive into all of that on the other side. The game of the night, though, Arizona, Baylor. It's a late tip on the East Coast, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. I'm starting to hear people hopping on Baylor. They're laying 1.5. I'm seeing that it's already moved to 2 at some shops. Now I'm seeing a 1 here. I don't know if that's – Kelly, is that DraftKings or is that Circa?
It's Circa, yep.
It's a 1 at Circa. 1.5 I've seen a 2. Games. I've seen a lot of 1.5s out there. Look, I know that this is the system play for a lot of people, where you get the unranked home favorite against the ranked road opponent. I know Arizona's lost 2 games in a row. Mind you, those have been by a combined 7 points, and they were really hard-fought games. You know, look, it's still a loss is a loss, but at Kansas State, lost a nail biter, then had a lead on Houston at halftime. Houston, it was a great live betting spot, comes back in the second half, beats Arizona by 4 ultimately. I think this is a great spot for Arizona. And you can get plus money on the money line in a lot of places. We'll dive into that more on the other side, but I love the Wildcats. He's Kelly Bidlin, I'm Joe Serallo. More college hoops here on A Numbers Game up next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kelly, remember the time that your bank blocked your deposit right before you were going to place a big bet?
Yep.
How about that time at 2 a.m. we were playing blackjack and you needed another shot at the tables, but you hit your ATM limit? You recall that, or was that a fuzzy night?
Happens all the time.
All the time, man. Well, Edge Boost has your back. Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors. With Edge Boost, all your gambling-related transactions will always be approved, Kelly. No more headaches, no more nonsense. And for high rollers, like our guy Kelly, you can move up to a quarter mil a day on your Edge Boost Visa debit card with unlimited withdrawals. This works 24/7 for instant deposits. Never wait for a wire to clear again. It gets better, folks. Every time you deposit into a gambling account, you earn cashback rewards up to 0.5%. All this for no usage fees and no minimum balance. It's a bank account, not a credit card, so there is no approval required and no annoying credit check. Finally, Edge Boost has a suite of responsible gambling tools to help you manage your bankroll and make informed decisions. So what are you waiting for? Go to edgeboost.bet. That's edgeboost.bet. Use the promo code ANG to start at tier 2 for faster bank transfers and higher cashback rewards. Sign up for Edge Boost today. As A Numbers Game continues, he's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serallo, taking you through this Monday morning, February 17th, as we look ahead to a week where the second half of the NBA season is going to tip off. We're going to get hockey back, I believe, Saturday, the first day of games after the Four Nations face-off. If I've got this correct, we've got 2 games today, obviously. I believe the championship is February 20th, and then Saturday the 22nd, we are back in action with the NBA regular season, which, Kelly, means that there is a lot of college hoops between now and then and pretty much nothing else.
That's right. That's right. A lot of college hoops. Yep.
Hey, you know, I mean, we do have other entertainment. White Lotus did premiere last night, season 3, long awaited. It's been about a year and a half, almost 2 years since season 2. Are you in on that? Were you watching last night?
No, I wasn't. I was surprised at how excited you've been about this. This is just how the world's changed. Like, I can't. It was a great show. I have seen both the first two seasons. There is no show that I'm lining up for a new episode release just to watch one episode. Like, these times, like, in 2025, either I've got time to burn through a show or I don't. And, like, there's no shows that are good enough to me where I need to catch the newest episode right as it debuts. I'd rather them build up, and then I'll bang out two or three in a row when I actually have some downtime.
Now, that's what I was hoping. I was hoping they would drop a few at once, not, you know, just one a week. But as far as if they drop the whole season, I don't have time. I never watch TV. I watch sports and I work. That is pretty much my life. Like, I never watch shows. People are like, oh, you've seen Succession, right? Nope, never seen an episode. And they name all these, you know, great critically acclaimed shows. And I'm sitting here like, never heard of her. But White Lotus is the one where I am all in. I've been waiting for weeks for this. And they gave us a little shout out. They actually said a numbers game at some point in the episode. It was Patrick Schwarzenegger was explaining flirting to his younger brother as they're at the resort, and he struck out like 3 times in a row, and he goes, it's a numbers game.
There we go. The tie-in. Love it. It's great. We got to get in the
open. If there wasn't
a
tie-in there, I was going to get a text from Bill very shortly saying, what the hell are you doing? Talk about the games tonight. But the fact of the matter is there aren't a lot of games tonight or this week, so we got to keep it moving, but 3 college hoops plays on my card. Considering it's a light slate, I was surprised I found 3 games that I liked. 2 of them over in the Southland Conference. Now, we've had some movement since I placed these last night. So as I pull it up in the rundown, I know it says I've got Southeast Louisiana +8.5 as home dogs against the first place McNeese team. That is now pretty much universally 7.5. I would still take the points with the Southeast Louisiana Lions. They are one of the best teams in the Southland Conference. Now, I know McNeese comes in, they're 14-1 in conference play. This team is incredible, but they've been struggling a little bit lately to cover. They've won 4 in a row outright. They have failed to cover. McNeese has 6 straight games. They've been favored by 8 or more in all 6 of those contests. They're just 7-8 against the number in conference play, 9-14 against the number this season as favorites. So while this is a great team, certainly a team I would expect to win the conference tournament, probably get a 13 or a 14 seed in March and be a frisky outcome March Madness, I just don't like them when they're consistently laying these big numbers, you know, 7.5, 8, double digits more often than not. Southeast Louisiana has won 5 in a row. They've covered 3 in a row. In conference play, they're a league best 9-4-2 against the spread. And as dogs, they're 11-4-1. So I'm going to take the Lions. Statistically, these are 2 really evenly matched teams. The key here is turnovers. McNeese, not over 9 steals per game. Not only the best mark in the league, one of the best marks in the country. Southeast Louisiana does tend to take really good care of the ball. If they're able to take care of the ball, they'll be in this one. If McNeese destroys them on turnovers, that would be how they could pull away in this. But 7.5, I got 8.5 last night. I think either way, it's just too many points. I'm going to take the home dog in this one, Kelly.
Yeah, like it. Not a huge look. You're looking for key numbers in basketball. We don't talk about them all that often, but yeah, the 8.5 is great. You always want to get the best, but I'm with you. 1 point line move down to 7.5. Look, that still gives you 3 possessions that you're up or you could be down at the end. Catching those many points will matter at some point over the course of the season between 7.5 and 8.5, but not as big of a move. Just that 1 point difference. So I'm with you. It'd still be good enough to grab just the 7.5.
And even though it's hoops, it's not football, obviously. 7's still a key number, not to the degree it is in football, but still in hoops, an important number when you look in that 6-7 range. So 8.5 to 7.5, not enough for me to stay away. I'd still take it there. Got another 8.5 last night that is now currently 9. In fact, at MGM, it's 9.5. That's the one stray 9.5 on the board. Sticking in the Southland Conference, it's Houston Christian at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Now, look, Corpus Christi does have the best offense in the conference. They're hitting nearly 49% of their shots from the floor. They're averaging over 76 points per game. They're a good shooting team. Problem is, they seem to do it all inside the arc. They can't hit threes to save their life. They're attempting and making the fewest amount of threes in the conference. Houston Christian also defends the three really well. So while Corpus Christi's only averaging 16 attempts per game, it's the low mark in the conference. Houston Christian's giving up the low mark in the conference, 17 attempts per game. So you're dealing with a massive number here. You see on your screen there, it's up to 9. And a team that doesn't shoot well, doesn't shoot in volume from beyond the arc, going up against a team that doesn't give up threes. And I'm thinking Houston Christian keeps this one close. They're 17-7 against the number this year, 9-6 in conference play, hitting 69% on the road, 70% as dogs, and 67% as road dogs, minimum 12 games to meet all those criteria listed. So Houston Christian is nothing shy of an absolute cover machine. And I know lately they've been struggling, just 1-4 straight up, 1-4 against the number in their last five. But the last time these two teams met, mind you, it was at Houston Christian, they were 6-point home dogs. They won by 4, 10-point swing against the number there. So, you know, if they already beat this team outright, kind of using their weaknesses against them, playing to their strengths, Corpus Christi, not great at the free throw line. That was the difference the last time that these teams met. Houston Christian was 20 of 26 from the stripe. Corpus Christi just 12 of 21. So not great from three, not great at the charity stripe. I mean, if you can't do either of those two things well, it's hard to pull away when you need a double-digit win to cover. So I'm going to be on the dog here, catching 9. Give me Houston Christian.
I like it. I like the Huskies, of course. Husky. When I think of Houston, I think Huskies.
You know all these mascots, right?
I love seeing the Houston Christian. I don't even know if I knew that was a school. I love seeing these bets, Joe. This is how you do it in college basketball, man. Find some of the smaller teams, smaller markets that aren't being paid attention to as much, and you can jump in and make some money. Houston, you know, Huskies, funny, so sure. Yeah.
You know what's funny about Houston Christian, Kelly, is that if you go to some websites, they're listed as Houston Baptist. So I don't know, like, when the name change happened or what the deal is there.
Right, yeah.
But you have to really pay attention, because if you're looking for Houston Christian, you might not see that on some books or at some sites.
They've become slightly more inclusive, I guess. Slightly.
Yeah, a little more non-denominational. And then the last play we're going with, and there's a straight plus 110 out there. Give me Arizona money line. You know, I kind of teased this one before the last commercial break. I know people love that system of, oh, you got the unranked home favorite with Baylor. This Baylor team is just disappointing. And you look at what Baylor's doing against the number in conference play. It has not been good. 5-9 against the number there. Now, they've won 4 out of their last 5 at home, but they've covered just twice in that span against ranked opponents. They're just 2-4-1 against the number. That one push came up in Hartford at UConn. Arizona's on this little 2-game skid. But I mentioned it. They've lost those games by a combined 7 points. Prior to that, Arizona's last 14 games, they were 13-1 straight up, 10-3-1 against the number. They've been really good on the road, 5-3 against the spread on the road, 2-1 as road dogs. In conference play, the Wildcats 9-6 against the number. They defend the three tremendously. Baylor does not. I think that's going to be the difference in this one. Arizona also has a huge advantage on the defensive glass. So Baylor, you know, a team that typically thrives off second chance opportunities, I'm not expecting them to get many in this game. I love Arizona to bounce back, win it outright. And again, that price on your screen, minus 105, not the best you can get. Plus 105 almost anywhere, plus 110, I believe, at one shop in Vegas as well. We're going to come back with some hockey talk. Our guy Johnny Lazarus joins the show. You can catch him every day on the Daily Faceoff. Up next, it's a numbers game. He's Kelly Bedlin. I'm Joe Cirola.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to the next level with our friends over at First Bet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or the road to the Kentucky Derby, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now at firstbet.com. It's the number one, sdbet.com. And use the promo code VSIN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. Joe Cirillo here, taking you through a numbers game all week alongside Kelly Bidlin. And right now with the Four Nations Faceoff, 2 games today on the slate. We're going to take you to the Progressive guest line and welcome in one of our favorite hockey analysts, the pride of Syosset High School, some people call him, our friend Johnny Lazarus, who you can catch, of course, on the Daily Faceoff. Johnny, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, Joe. I'm actually sipping on a Woodbury Country Deli iced coffee right now, getting ready to drive up to Boston after we hop off here.
Wow, that is as siacid a morning as you could start off. I absolutely love it, man. Take us through the games today. Four Nations Faceoff. Johnny, I want to make sure I've got this information correct. So from what I've gathered, if Canada-Finland has a winner in regulation, the winner will take on the U.S. in the championship game. But if it goes to overtime, Sweden still has an outside shot if they win in regulation. Is that correct, or do you have to tweak that?
That is exactly correct. So if you are Team Sweden right now, you're just rooting for a draw in the afternoon game. Because Canada and Finland both beat Sweden head-to-head, they own the tiebreaker, and that is why this is the case. So the only chance Sweden does have, is if one Finland or Canada come away with 2 points instead of the 3 points, because this is a 3-2-1 point system, which is different than the NHL regular season, where in the NHL you get 2 points for a win, whether that be overtime or regulation, and you get 1 point for the overtime loss, whereas this tournament, you get 3 points for a regulation win, you get 2 for an overtime win, and you get 1 for a for an overtime loss, which I think the NHL should go to for their regular season, because I do think it is a better point system at the end of the day. And college hockey actually does that as well. So it's not very uncommon in the hockey world. So hopefully they do go to this at some point in the future, because I think it just makes for overall better hockey, and teams are more rewarded for winning in regulation as opposed to finding the overtime win.
I like it. It definitely spices things up a bit. And Johnny, Canada, I mean, they're a massive favorite against Finland. Minus 440 on the money line. Even the puck line laying 1.5 is minus 160. Do you see Canada winning this one in regulation? What plays, what action do you like in this game?
So I like Canada -1.5 on the puck line. I just think they're the clear-cut better team. They're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger. You know, they're more talented. The only way that Finland can stay in this game, to me, is if they score the first goal and sit back and protect the lead. The first goal in this game is going to be huge because, listen, I think Finland can be a little bit realistic with themselves. They probably know they're a little outmatched. And that's no disrespect or no shade thrown at them. They do have a great goalie in Jussi Saro. So if they are able to get out and get that first goal, they can trust and rely on him to make the big saves. But if they go down 1-0, I just don't see them finding a way to claw back. And I know there's an argument that could be made that Sweden overcame a 2-goal deficit against Canada. They came back from down 3-1 and forced overtime. But I just think with the magnitude of today's game, Canada knowing they have to win the regulation, it's going to be that much harder. So if Finland can score the first goal, who knows? It could be a wild outcome. But if Canada comes out and scores the first goal, I just don't see it going Finland's way at all.
Yeah, I mean, look, to your point, it's no disrespect to Finland, but this Canada team, you know, it's clear that there are tiers in this tournament. There's Canada and the U.S., and then draw the line, and then there's Sweden and Finland. Finland's, I've been pretty impressed with the way that they've played thus far. I just don't know if I can get behind them in this contest. Would taking Sweden in any capacity be worth a flyer before the Canada and Finland game gets underway, or do you think you have to sit back and see, you know, maybe how much desperation Sweden's approaching this one with?
Well, even if the game is meaningless for the United States or for the outcome of the tournament, Sweden still wants to leave with a win. You know, they've lost both their games in overtime. I highly doubt they want to go 0-3, in this tournament. So Sweden will have desperation. I don't see them playing tonight's game as some sort of all-star skills showcase, even if it is meaningless. So I do think there is value on Sweden tonight. Jake Oettinger is getting the start. He hasn't played a game, you know, obviously in a little bit over a week or so. So he might not be as fresh as Linus Ullmark might be on the other side for Sweden if Ullmark is to get the start, which I do think he will be the starter. So there definitely is value on Sweden tonight for sure. And again, this game means absolutely nothing for Team USA as far as the standings go. Obviously, they're going to want to put on a good performance for the home crowd, being back on home soil for the first time in this tournament in Boston. But I haven't seen the line yet for that game. So depending on what it is, which you can tell me, I'm sure, in a second, there definitely is value on Sweden in tonight's contest.
Yeah, if you want to take Sweden +1.5, you got to lay 55 cents. But if you want to take them on the money line, it's about +160, +165. Does that money line price intrigue you, or would you lay juice on the puck line?
money line is probably the better way to go, because if Sweden is going to win, I do think it, you know, it will be from the beginning, because I think Sweden will come out a little bit hotter than the U.S. will. I don't see the U.S. coming out in the first period and you know, laying some dominance. So I'd rather take the plus money in that sense.
Yeah, especially with the U.S., given how much emotion went into that contest against Canada over the weekend, do you see that potentially being a bit of a letdown spot for them? I mean, I feel like it's really hard to get yourself as up for the occasion as they did over the weekend, right?
Especially when they know the outcome won't change anything. Right. That said, these are still competitors at the end of the day. They're gonna compete. I don't know if they're going to fight off the opening draw. I don't know if they're going to throw the body around, because, again, they do probably want to save themselves a little bit for Thursday. But like you said, Joe, it is hard to get up for a game like this when you know the outcome doesn't really matter. But that said, like, Jay Gottinger is a guy who has a lot to prove as well. You know, he's wearing the United States jersey for the first time in the tournament, and obviously he wants to put on a good show. So it's a tough game to read, just because the outcome of this afternoon has so many implications on what tonight will mean. So as we sit here today, this morning, and try to handicap it, it does make it a little bit harder. But, you know, anything can happen in these kinds of tournaments, and I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens this afternoon.
So, Johnny, I want to get your take on some second half futures for the NHL season. But before we do, I got to get your thoughts on what transpired between the U.S. and Canada, and what you'd expect if we do ultimately get the rematch that I would say most people are waiting for.
I mean, it was probably the best period of hockey I've ever watched in my life. Being in the building for the game, the energy was unbelievable. The three fights off the draw, the Connor McDavid goal, best player in the world, best player arguably, you know, that we'll ever watch, scoring the goal the way he did. The U.S. responding with Charlie McAvoy then throwing a big hit on McDavid, which turned the whole game around, in my opinion, because the United States scores about 30 seconds later on a big goal by Jake Guentzel. You know, the crowd was incredible the entire night. There were a lot of U.S. representatives too, some USA chants after we scored. Obviously the building went nuts after McDavid scored. And then as the game progressed, you know, it felt like a game seven energy, even though it wasn't even a do or die game. You know, I had spoken to people that were at game seven last year between Florida and Edmonton, and the lead up felt the same. I was outside the Bell Center at 6 p.m. and there was a long line to get into the building 2 hours before puck drop. The seats were packed for warm up. I mean, there is no atmosphere quite like USA versus Canada, especially on Canadian soil. And I'm hoping that we get that rematch on American soil, because, man, chanting USA, USA, USA in Boston on Thursday night against the Canadian team, I mean, that'd be like the most chills I'd ever have, you know, in an NHL arena. So, you know, that was the one takeaway I had. Where being in the building for the Canadian games was awesome. Like, the atmosphere was so great, but, you know, obviously I'm an American born guy, so I didn't really have that, you know, feeling of chills going through my body or that sense of national pride that I'll have this week watching the Americans play in Boston. It's going to be a whole different animal for people like us. So I'm really fired up for that. But yeah, the USA Canada game on Saturday was just, you know, everyone was tuning in. 4.4 million viewers, you know, I think 5.2 is the max amount. You know, the whole world's eyes were on that game, and that's just so important for the sport of hockey. I think no matter what the outcome was, or no matter what the outcome will be on Thursday night, the NHL and hockey is a big winner after this 2 weeks.
I love it, and I hope we get the rematch later on this week. Johnny, last question. Second half starts, what, Saturday? Do you have any futures yep. in pocket for the remainder of the NHL season? Final 30 seconds here are yours.
Well, I got to go with the homer pick and say New York Rangers to make the playoffs. They've had a bit of an iffy start. Obviously, they had a rocky two-month window, but they traded for JT Miller, who made a big play on Sidney Crosby on Saturday night and had the fight. Obviously, I think he's going to be an identity shifter and a real big positive impact in the Rangers locker room. So I believe it's still a plus money. You can get the Rangers to make the playoffs, and that's what I would go with right now for the second half.
Plus 145, still there at DraftKings. Johnny, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for hopping on.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you. Talk soon.
Make sure you follow our guy Johnny on Twitter at JLazzy23. Catch the Daily Faceoff. Of course, he's the host of it. Always the best hockey insight in the game. Our friend and my Syosset High School alum, Johnny Lazarus. More numbers game. Hour two kicks off up next. Wes Reynolds joining the show. Don't go anywhere. It's Joe Cirillo, Kelly Bidlin taking you through your Monday morning.